Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. You ready?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 194.5 of Geekcast Radio. I'm, of course, TFJ and Mike. Joining me is Ryan the Alaskan Merkley.
Alaskan? It's not that cold up here yet. Just because you could hear the heat on in the background when we first started doesn't mean it's that cold yet.
You know what? That your heat, your AC, whatever, it really does weird things to my recordings. Because I will try to remove it in the editing. Your voice still sounds like your voice and sounds like fine. Meanwhile, I sound like my voice is going through a robotic cheese grater.
Which is usually what my voice sounds like.
Yes. So 194.5, the reason why this is being done this way is because I have a specific plan for Geekcast Radio episodes 195 and 196 with a very special across-the-pond guest. So very, very cool. One of the only times I've recorded with someone that's over in the UK. So there's that. But I will tease
I thought
that.
It was just because you wanted to talk about the Breaking Bad movie because it just came out.
Yes, yes, yes. There is that. It came out 2 weeks ago as of this release date for this episode of the podcast, even though we're recording it basically the Monday after it came out. Anyway, as he said, we are going to be talking about El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, a Netflix original, I think they did
yep.
This is? Yeah, okay. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original film directed by Breaking Bad creator Vince Gilligan, produced by Mark Johnson and a bunch of other people, written by Vince, obviously, based on Breaking Bad by Vince, starring Aaron Paul. And another thing I want to get out of the way here, folks, even though this episode won't air until the 25th of October, as of this recording and as of us watching El Camino, one day after the film was released, Robert Forster passed away.
It was actually day of.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was that night.
Oh, man!
No, I was going to mention it, too.
Well, yeah, I was going to bring it up because, again, like... Okay, so El Camino comes out. We are going to spoil the hell out of the film, folks. So if you haven't seen it yet, turn the podcast off. But this is the dedication part for Robert Forster. Robert Forster, who plays Ed, the vacuum cleaner salesman, fixer.
Disappearer. Mike was more the fixer. This guy is the disappearer,
okay,
as Vince Gilligan always called him on the podcast. But yeah, it was...
Okay.
It sucks that he's gone, but
yeah,
he was great in this, A, and then B, it's kind of nice that he went out with a role that was written for him. So, as I've mentioned pretty much a billion other times, I listen to the Breaking Bad podcast where they go through every single episode, they being the cast, creators, writers, directors, editors, and just break down how it got to where it is. And yep, when they're talking about Ed, the character, and having a disappearer in season 5 to help Walt, Jesse, Saul all find new identities, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
They wrote it with him in mind. And he was their first choice, and they were ecstatic to have him. So it's kind of nice that his last role gets to be something that was specifically designed with him in mind. And
right,
he's great at it.
Right. So when this news hit, I had been waiting. If you go back, folks, and you folks will be able to do this because I'll put the links in the show notes, if you go back to our Breaking Bad coverage over on Remote Control that Ryan and I covered all 5 seasons of the show, initially I was not a Breaking Bad fan. I've kind of become one a little bit. I like the show. I kind of like the later seasons of the show more than the beginning, but it is what it is.
Well, those have improved. So
well, right.
That.
So you can go check that out. But, like, I was excited for, like, I'm like, ooh, Aaron Paul. Ooh, Jesse's, we're going to find out what happened to Jesse. We're going to find out this. We're going to find out that. And everything else. I was not really expecting Robert to have, I was not expecting the Ed character to show up. I'm glad he did. And I'm glad that he was, again, worked into the film's plot. So it makes sense for Jesse to go to him. It just, when the, like, so I, whole point of me saying this is I had been waiting. Like, I checked at midnight Central Time Netflix to see if it was up yet. I checked at 3 a.m. Central Time Netflix to see if it, like, you have to watch the film until, like, 9 o'clock in the morning Central Time. So 10 Eastern, 9 Central in the morning on the day that it came out. And I watched it as soon as I saw it was ready. I was like, hey, boom. And then after that, obviously, we find out the news that he passed away. Where I know Robert mainly, yes, everyone's going to cite Jackie Brown, but for me, he was Peter Facinelli's character, Van Ray. He was Van Ray's father in Fastlane from 2003 over at Fox. Very, very, very cool actor. Very, very cool small little guest role for him on that show as Van's dad. He's Robert Forster is the guy that you'll hear his voice and you're like, I know that voice. I know, like, I've heard that voice before. I can't really place where the guy's from or what he's been in, but I know him and I love him. And seeing him in El Camino was just really, really cool.
I suspect he'll, or a lot of people know him too, from Twin Peaks. So,
okay.
It's another fairly popular one that some people will cite. But yeah, Jackie Brown, Breaking Bad.
All right, so El Camino, you want to break down the plot of this, or do we want to do any, like, preamble about it, or how do we want to...
It's really just the story of Jesse post, it's essentially right after Breaking Bad ends. So in the final episode of Breaking Bad, Jesse drives off in an El Camino, and that's the last we see of him. And this picks up right after, and it's the story of Jesse trying to figure out what he's going to do or trying to start over. And it's interspersed with a lot of flashbacks, which, I figured there'd be some because I would have been shocked. It's without Bryan Cranston in a flashback. And I was not disappointed. I just figured that would pretty much have to happen. So it did. And the stuff I wasn't expecting was I wasn't expecting to see an awful lot of Todd, which, oh.
Yeah.
So they were good scenes, but God, I hate that character. And you're supposed to. That's the whole point. He is Amos from The Expanse, minus any desire to have a moral compass. Todd is a sociopath. He is not a functioning sociopath, though. He has no morals, morality, no sense of anything, and just kind of, oh boy. So anyway. But interspersed with that, I was extremely happy and not surprised as well to see Mike in a flashback.
Yeah, that was awesome.
All these characters are dead, by the way, that Jesse has flashbacks with.
True.
The real shocker to me was the end, seeing Jane in a flashback. That was a nice callback.
That
but anyway,
was a very nice callback.
Really, I mean, it's not a hard film to sum up. It's Jesse is out, and Jesse is trying to...
Jesse is free. I mean, that's basically the main baseline premise of the movie.
And he's trying to stay free.
Right. And he doesn't really... I don't think it really shows you, but it shows you that he finally finds, after looking and looking and looking for the vacuum cleaner salesman guy Ed, obviously... But he sees his little beat-up red thing, and he remembers. He's like, oh, wait, that's the car. That's the guy. And I love that entire scene. Because I watched it right before the news of Robert's passing, and I watched it again immediately after. And that entire scene in the vacuum store is so good. From the point where Robert is talking to the old to the little old lady, who, you know, the grandmother, to the point where he's having the interaction with Jesse. And Jesse's like, "You're the dude." He's like, "You're the dude. I know. I remember that day." And then you just don't see Ed's, like, Ed is, "No, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. I'm a vacuum cleaner salesman," you know. And that was what was so cool about Ed, and that was what was so cool about Breaking Bad, is this formula of having a system, having to use the code word before the actor, the character, whatever, would break into that part of the role. Like the whole Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing, obviously, though, not Jekyll and Hyde, but that kind of duality to it was so very cool. Like, unless you say a certain thing, you're not getting what you want. Jesse's kind of freaking out and doesn't remember it.
Well, Ned had a code, too, as he mentions, too. Even though Jesse was threatening him, you know, tried to call the cops on it, or not try to call the cops, but was going to, you know, rat him out, or just a variety of things. He wasn't going to leave well enough alone. Even after all that, once he gets the money, Ed does what he said he would. Same with, we saw that with he and Walt, too. I mean, Walt is so lonely, he starts paying Ed thousands and thousands of dollars just to hang out with him. Because Walt, in a lot of ways, near the end, was just, well, not in a lot of ways, Walt was just a broken man near the end, which is entirely deserved, because
he
was horrible. It's funny, because Jesse's the third person to disappear through him. Yeah, first we had, I guess first technically was Saul.
Yep.
And Saul's somewhere, Saul's very exceptionally amoral. Walter is flat out evil, and Jesse's kind of the chaotic good of the group.
Jesse's character, I want to say, is the one you root for.
He's the only one that had a conscience.
Right.
He's the only one that felt bad about anything they did.
Right.
Even though he still did bad things. And he does bad things in this, too.
Yeah.
He flat out guns down two people who were not good people, but
right. He
still kills two people.
Yeah, that is true. But, I mean, compared to Walt, though, and I know this isn't about Walt, but since we're talking about all these characters, I really want to say, overall, in the grand scheme of things, you take everything from Breaking Bad and you take everything from this, Jesse still deserved a happier ending than Walt ever could have wished for.
Jesse had the potential for good somewhere in him. His biggest problem was he kept falling under really poor choices for role models. Like, he was desperate to have a role model or someone to emulate. And, you know, first he had his parents, who, by the way, I was really surprised to see them again, too.
I was, too, yeah.
They hadn't shown up in forever, and rightfully so. There wasn't a reason to bring them in. But, yeah, I was surprised to see them, and it was really interesting that he kind of, I don't know, if he tries to, if he's actually trying to absolve them, I think he is, because, again, Jesse's a good and far too forgiving person deep down, but, you know, first he had his parents, and then he falls under Walt, who is the devil, as Jesse says at one point.
Yeah.
And he's not far off. He falls under Mike, who Mike was easily the best influence on him, but of course Walt kills him. So then we're back to back to Walter again, and yeah, it's not good. He never really had a chance. I don't know. And so, yeah, you're right. We end up rooting for him, and you still root for him in this. It's, I don't know, it's just funny to hear Aaron Paul and some of the other people talk about the fact that, you know, Jesse is a murderer. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done horrible things. He was dealing drugs when we first found him, and he didn't care about whose lives it damaged, that sort of thing. But as we got to know him and go home with him more and more, he wasn't necessarily that person.
Yeah, if Walt hadn't done what he did to Jane, I was really hoping Jesse and Jane would eventually have a happy ending.
I guess, but we kind of forget that Jane was no angel, too.
True, like she wasn't, yeah.
She had issues, and she was, you know, she had no qualms with blackmailing Walt and trying to sort of strong arm to get what she wanted, which, oof, didn't turn out well for her.
No.
And that then, was back when we weren't sure about Walter either, about where he ranked in the...
Yeah. So part of Jesse's whole thing in, I think it was season one, in the first few episodes, he mentioned about the whole Break Bad thing. Well, we see Walt's degeneration into Breaking Bad, but it's not until, I think, season four that Walt goes full evil.
Yes.
Late season three, early season four, Walt goes full evil psycho.
So getting back to El Camino, though, one of the things I loved about it... No, I'm about to tie that in.
Okay.
One of the things I loved about it is it didn't have Walt, and it didn't have his family.
Right.
You know, and there was no reason to see Walt Jr. or Skyler. Like, And this was silly of me, but I was afraid that Vince Gilligan was going to have, you know, a scene where Jesse drives by the house or something like that. Like, there was no reason for him to do any of that. And I was really glad that didn't show up. Nor do they try to answer the question from the series, which is, was Walter always this way? Or, you know, did he always have all this in him, which I personally believe. That he was always Heisenberg deep down. There was always some sort of element of it. Or, you know, was it just he broke bad and the cancer happened and he just kind of rode it?
I think the...
It's one of my favorite things that the series never goes out of its way to answer that.
Right. I think initially the cancer was the straw that broke the Heisenberg back. Kind of like, it was the... It's kind of like going back to the Joker. All it takes is one bad day. You know, Walt had way, like, he was tired of being Walter White. He was tired. And then, he gets the cancer diagnosis, and it's like, okay, I don't give a fuck anymore.
But there's always the stuff with gray matter, with Gretchen and her husband, that we don't know exactly what happened there. But something... Yeah. You know, bad happened.
I had forgotten because I don't know. I think I mentioned this to you off air. I don't remember if I've mentioned it so far on air. I went back and watched the last episode of Breaking Bad after I had seen El Camino to remind myself specifically of certain things that happened in the final episode. I'd forgotten they were using laser pointers to threaten them.
Yep.
And seeing, oh man. That image of Jesse at the door when Skinny Pete opens the door in El Camino, oh my God.
Yeah, so the first people Jesse goes to for help are Skinny Pete and Badger, who are, you know, things seem to be going pretty well for them. That was not, like, I wasn't surprised because it's Breaking Bad, but I was impressed with how much emotion there was in a lot of things, including from, you know, Skinny Pete, who, Skinny Pete and Badger could have just been joke characters. On most shows, that's pretty much what they'd be.
Yeah.
But they actually get, you know, stuff to do. They actually kind of, you know, they're...
Yeah.
And, Skinny Pete, you know, almost literally gives him the shirt off his back.
Gives him the hat off his head.
It's more of the hat off his head. But anyway, and it was, it was nice. And there is something about Jesse that we want him to be okay. Yep. And, I could have done, though, without, like, seeing all the scars and everything else on him. Like, you forget how bad
he was treated.
Things were. Not to mention, we get all the scenes of his torture and stuff while he was being held by Jack and his gang.
Yeah. Yeah, but El Camino, I think, puts a period on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's a good coda.
All of it.
Without spoiling anything, too.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I would have hated to have seen, you know, the White family, or somehow they have Marie in it, or Jesse goes to, you know, if this was a really bad sitcom, Jesse would end up at the funeral for...
Yeah.
Oh, man, now I can't remember his name.
Brock?
That's not good. Walt's brother. Why can I not? Hank? I know Dean Norris. It's Hank.
Hank. Yeah. Here's the thing. After I watched the movie, before I watched it the second time, and as the Robert Forster news was making the rounds on the internet, I kept seeing in my Google feed from multiple websites, who's that Brock character that they mentioned in El Camino? In case you didn't know, I kind of remembered, but Brock was Andrea's son.
Oh, I remembered.
Yeah, no, I didn't remember at first when I first saw the film, but before I had seen all these articles, I'm like, well, Brock's Andrea's son. So you think about it, Jane's gone, and Andrea was the meth head that Jesse was going to try to flip, but then obviously... Again, it's one of those things where Jesse was going to be bad, but he chose to be good.
Yep.
And even though Jesse's still alive in the wilds of Alaska, his only goodbye to his previous life was her kid.
Was to Brock, yeah. And so apparently, Aaron Paul's talked about this a couple times now. Mm-hmm. That letter exists, as in... The letter is written out in full in real life, and Aaron Paul has read it, and he fought to have it in the film, and Vince fought against it. Mm-hmm. And so Aaron hopes that, you know, someday maybe they'll release it, but it was the first thing that was written for the entire movie. They wrote out that letter, and that's where they went. Was, you know, from what they wrote there, that's where they started. Mm-hmm. In terms of the plot and everything else. I tend to agree with Aaron Paul that it's sort of an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, an I'm sorry, I knew your mother kind of thing. I wasn't expecting it. It doesn't surprise me at all, but I wasn't expecting, you know, him to try to leave a letter to somebody. And I remember briefly, I thought to myself, well, who is who's left?
Yeah.
There's next to nobody left. You've ruined pretty much everybody's lives, Walter. And
Jesse.
Yeah, and unfortunately, through Jesse, other people's. And although I was impressed with the number of people who come back. So we get Lou, the... owner of the junkyard, mm-hmm. returns as well, which was nice. Like, none of the cameos were forced. It was nice that they didn't try to shoehorn anyone in.
Yeah, it all tied together well.
Yeah, same with, we get a quick note/update about Lydia, who is still alive, but not expected to survive. But they know she was poisoned by Walter White.
Yeah.
Again, that's another thing that happened in the finale. And just so many little nods. Yeah, everything from Todd's apartment had a Vomino's Pest Control shirt or something on it to whatever, I don't know. There's a billion different, the tarantula that Drew Sharp had.
Yep. yeah, it was very, very cool. It was a very interesting film. And again, like I said, I think it's a perfect period on, at this point, all of the characters. Because Walt's dead. Walt's been dead since the finale of the series. And, I mean, really, Walt's dead and Jesse got away at the end of the original series. So, did we really need El Camino? No, probably not. But I'm kind of glad we got it because we finally get Jesse to have a happy ending.
At least some closure, too.
The closure we got for him in the season 5 / series finale was fine, but I'm still glad to see that they decided to come up with a story that, even though there are flashbacks, the movie flows really well.
Yeah. I don't know. It's so, as soon as this was announced that it was coming out and it was going to focus on Jesse, I knew how it was going to end. Because, again, I listened to the podcast, and when they did the finale podcast, the character, the writers and editors and everybody discussed, what do you think happens to Jesse? And Vince has always said, including on that podcast, that realistically, Jesse got caught and is going to live in prison for the rest of his life. But he said if he ever got the chance to write it, he was going to have him. Now, they always joked that he'd be a crop duster in New Zealand. But when Mike said Alaska at the start of the film, I knew, okay, he's going to end up in Alaska. But I was fine with that. Like, I think I mentioned this on Twitter, that it felt like a lot of wish fulfillment. Like, a lot of Breaking Bad is based on what would actually happen, or what would this character do if blank happened. And this kind of doesn't do that, because again, realistically, yeah, Jesse'd probably be caught.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with, you know, just this once in this movie, you know, they let somebody have a happy ending, mostly because nobody else got one in the series.
True.
I'm trying to think, who has the happiest ending in the series? Walt really, Jr. Nobody. Saul's life, as we see in Better Call Saul, is horrific.
Yeah.
He is not enjoying being Gene, the manager at a Cinnabon, at all. He would end up in the series. And, of course, that's where they decided to put him.
Decided to put him, yeah.
For Better Call
Saul. I would
say
the only one that really got a happy ending out of it would maybe be Walt Jr. Because he didn't really get...
He looked up to his dad an awful lot, though. And
yeah, he did.
Not to mention he's named after it.
That's true, but just because the sins of the father are the sins of the father doesn't mean they're going to be visited on the son.
Eh, it's still pretty tough. His family definitely didn't get up. Not to mention his Uncle Hank is dead because of his dad.
True. I still think the most ingenious thing Walter White ever did was that M60 in the back of the car.
Yeah, I like how they mentioned that, too. There's a lot of mentions in this, but they don't go out of their way.
Right.
It's just people listening to the radio or TV reports, like all the stuff that made sense. So.
Yeah, and how else are you going to get certain Easter eggs in for us and certain hints? Like, if not that I would ever suggest any normal person watch this before watching Breaking Bad on a whole, but if somebody who had never seen the series went and watched this, they could get little hints of what to expect from the series, I think. Gus's melting face notwithstanding, but there's that. Just everything about it was really, really cool. I really dug it. I thought it was a great little ending point film for Breaking Bad fans.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't... If the series and this film were written by anybody else, I would have had some hesitation or been worried. But as soon as Vince Gilligan was the one doing it, they announced it, etc., I wasn't worried, because a lot of people go back to their work and it doesn't go well. I hate to use it as an example because Vince didn't go back to it, but look at the last two seasons of X-Files, for example. You know, sometimes it's best to just leave stuff alone. This was one of those times. It was nice to get a happier ending to what overall was an absolute nightmare of a series.
True. So I will probably link this in the show notes, folks. This article is current as of this recording, but it'll be old by the time you folks see it. I'm looking at an article on JoeBlow.com. Aaron Paul talks El Camino and whether or not he'd play Jesse again. He goes on to say, if Vince asked me to jump onto Saul, I would do it in a heartbeat, and I would know it's for a very good reason. So we'll see. Look, we talk about it all the time. We really do. And we want to do it for the right reasons. We don't want to just throw you in a scene that doesn't make sense. Obviously, we would love to give that to the fans of Breaking Bad and the fans of Better Call Saul, but we don't want fans to kind of scratch their head and they're like, well, why did that happen?
Yeah, and that's why the shows have been so good. They don't just throw guys in for no reason. It would be so easy to have Walter White on Sweeps Week and have him appear on Better Call Saul. It just wouldn't make any sense.
It wouldn't make any sense.
They didn't know each other at all, et cetera, et cetera. Or they could design, you know, if they really wanted to, they could design some subplot where they don't actually meet and just have them on the show. But again, there's no reason for it.
No.
It would just be pointless kind of fan service.
Yeah, and I think after El Camino, I honestly think that the story, I mean, yes, you can still do stories with Saul on his own show, obviously.
Which they have, yeah. Saul, so Better Call Saul chronologically takes place after this. And after Breaking Bad, it's just the bulk of the show is flashbacks of Jimmy / Saul remembering his life before Walt came along and everything turned to shit. Remembering the good times when he was still an amoral, terrible person. These are not shows you watch to feel good, which is why El Camino is almost out of place because it's kind of happy compared to the rest.
True. I don't know. Like I said, I absolutely thought it was a fun little thing. It did not need to be... Like we said, did not need to have any of the other White family members in it. Did not need to have Marie. I mean, Hank's dead. What's the, you know?
Oh, I know. It's just there's an alternate reality somewhere where I'm sure
Hank's alive.
Somebody else wrote this series. Yeah. And we had all these ridiculous random appearances.
True.
Well, luckily in this reality, Vince Gilligan wrote it, and I got to say one thing, too. So Better Call Saul is wrapping up. This is the final year of it because they hit the Breaking Bad time period.
Oh, cool.
And so this is the final season of it as well. So in theory, by the way, I've always said the last shot of Saul's memories should be Walt walking into his...
Office.
I always thought that would be a cute thing to do. Not too fan service-y. Just sort of end it with that. But
yeah, that makes sense.
We'll see. But I'm curious to see, you know, hit Gene's life in the future because it's not going so well so far. But after that, I've got to admit, I'm super excited to see what Vince Gilligan does.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be in the Breaking Bad universe.
No, he's going to have to come up with something totally different. And, I mean, obviously he could still use the style that he uses, but it's going to have to be basically, and you can shoot this down if you want, but Vince Gilligan and Breaking Bad are like George Lucas and Star Wars. You've finished your story. Thankfully, Vince knows better than to go back and try to rewrite it or fix it because he wrote it perfectly the first time. You move on and create something else now.
Yeah.
Unlike, you know, certain people who are still pissed that Disney won't take his ideas. Anyway.
I expect that that's what he's going to do, is create something else. It'll be interesting because he can... he will literally have the ability to do whatever he wants. He's pretty much proven he can do anything. Yep. You know, this is a film based on a TV show. Traditionally, those are not good. Yeah, that's true, unfortunately.
No, yeah, you're right.
I don't like saying that because it's happened to a lot of franchises and stuff I enjoy, but traditionally it just doesn't go well. But this one did, and that's another thing he managed to do. He did a prequel, and it is fantastic. Usually prequels are terrible. You know, he just kind of bucks the trend no matter what he's doing, and he's done science fiction because... X-Files, during its heyday, when he was there, and Chris Carter and everybody were firing on all cylinders, was just terrific.
Right.
So, yeah, it is impressive. And whatever he does, I plan to at least check out. You know, maybe it'll be something I'm not super interested in, but... The level of quality he's able to put forth has been astounding, so that alone should make it interesting.
Absolutely. If you were going to rate this 0 to 5, what would you rate it?
That's what I've been thinking about the whole time. I'm going to say... Give it a 4.5. 4.5 or 4 is right in that range, and it's not perfect, but it's still really good while being a lot of fan service. Anyway.
I watched it twice before we did this, and for me to go from back in 2013 or whenever it was to not really caring or not even wanting to check out Breaking Bad to really, really enjoying certain characters from the series and especially enjoying that last season, I still want, like I said before, yes, we do see that Jesse kind of escapes, but when this was announced, I was like, ooh, we get to find out all these other things. And it's not just a fan service-y movie, it's a full story movie that, you know, this is what happened to Jesse. And this is several different stages of Jesse's whatever life and things like that. And I was like, oh, that's very cool. So I'm just gonna give it a 5. I didn't really have any moments in this where one moment that I could have done without was with Jesse and the bug on his hand, but I'm not gonna take a half a point off.
That was a reference to he did that in season 2. I want to say, season 2 or 3.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I forget. Yeah, I'm just not a bug person. So
Jesse's usually not a killer, although he makes exceptions for welders.
Well, I mean, he was the guy that made his
cage. Yes.
So I mean, I
fish plate.
Yeah, really.
I am dense. I am completely down with Jack and anybody associated with his group, Iron or whatever, by being killed in this series. Yeah. I have forgotten that Jesse strangled Todd to death. I had completely forgotten that because I remember trying to think when it was. Recently, anyway, before I saw El Camino, I thought to myself, well, what are all the bad, quote-unquote, things Jesse has done? Probably the worst was killing Gale.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about Todd, but I wouldn't rank that in the bad thing.
Nah.
It wasn't a good thing.
Todd was a jerk, anyway.
Todd was horrible. Jesse Plemons is so good as him. By the way, the little snow globe collection, as well as I can't remember his name now, but not the head of the welding company. Anyway, the other character picks it up at one point, or picks one of them up at one point, And it's essentially a snow globe of Todd and Lydia. And, like, just... Todd was so damn creepy, too.
Yeah, Todd was very, very
creepy. He's evil combined with creepy combined with sociopath combined... Anyway.
You know what the... Like, I knew that Todd was Jesse Plemons, but because I hadn't seen the character in so long, since it's been God knows how long since we did those original Breaking Bad episodes of Remote Control, I had forgotten that Todd was played by Jesse Plemons. I thought it was Warren Cole beefed up, like, just absolutely, you know, put on some pounds for the role. Because I'm like, his voice sounds so familiar. And for those that don't know, Warren Cole was on a number of things. He was in Person of Interest as Ian Murphy. He was on White Collar for an episode or two. He was in Blue Bloods, you know, but he has that kind of voice kind of thing that, like, wow, okay. So, yeah, but no, Jesse Plemons as Todd was always super creepy, and I'm so glad. That's one thing. Again, Uncle Jack stuff, like, hey, it's okay, it's okay, Jesse, you can strangle Todd, that's fine.
Yes, boy.
Oh, boy. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At Nightbeat on Twitter.
I am at TFU and Mike on Twitter, and you can also follow at Geekcast Radio on Twitter as well. Yeah, we did Breaking Bad like 2 years ago. God, has it really been that long? Yep. Between... February and May of 2017 is when we did Breaking Bad episodes for Remote Control. So, like I said, folks, at the beginning of this, coming up next is a two-part episode, 195 and 196. My guest will be Terry Smith. He runs Music Talks podcast. Basically, the format for his show is... You pick one song for every decade that you're alive. So for me, I was born in 80. So 80, 90, 2000s, and 2010s. And you discuss why you picked it and why at that moment in your life that song makes, you know. And he's got, I think, almost 9 episodes of the show out. And it's really interesting. I highly recommend if you're a music lover and you want to hear really cool stories about music through the decades, listen to the Music Talks, because it's so fun. It really, really is. So, unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time here on Geekcast Radio.
Oh, hit me, stop doing it. You want to come cook the stove, please? Like I came to you. To cook meth. Ever since I met you, everything I ever cared about is gone. Ruined, turned to shit, dead. Maybe I should have done something different. Maybe I should have made you my bitch. Mr. White, he's the devil. He's smarter than you. He can't keep getting away with it. He can't keep getting away with it. What's the point of being an outlaw when you got responsibilities? If you just do stuff and nothing happens, what's it all mean? I can't even pronounce half of this shit. I didn't ask for any of this, but where am I supposed to go? Yo, I've been out there all night slinging crystal. You think it's cake moving a pound of meth 1/10 at a time? I have nothing, no one, alright, it's all gone. And all for that asshole Mr. White. Getting away with it. You don't give a shit about me. You said I was no good. I am not turning.
long as you get what you want. Say you want this. Say the words. I want nothing to do with the gray. As in I'm a great guy. You keep saying that, and it's bullshit every time. I'm a criminal, yo. I accept who I am. I'm the bad guy. You don't give a shit about me. You said I was no good. I am not down the money, I am turning down the gray. Heisenberg, as long as you get what you want, say you want this, say the words. I want nothing to do with the gray. Heisenberg, can't keep getting away with it.